der Bildungsspektrum Podcast. Episode 110. Grüß euch Gott. Gerade komme ich von einem viertägigen Coaching-Workshop aus Rosenheim zurück. Dieser Workshop war vom Intal-Institut organisiert und unser Referent war Dr. Robert Biswas-Diener. Robert Biswas-Diener ist einer der renommiertesten Glücksforscher. Glücksforscher sind es nicht nur Leute, die irgendwo in einem Labor stehen und sterile Versuche machen, sondern Robert gilt als der Indiana Jones der Psychologen, weil er nämlich um die ganze Welt reist und Menschen auch in den hintersten Winkeln befragt und interviewt. Er war zum Beispiel ein Jahr lang in Indien und hat dort auch die ärmsten Menschen, die in Slums leben und am Tag $1 verdienen, obwohl sie 10 Stunden lang gearbeitet haben. Auch solche Menschen hat er regelmäßig intensiv befragt. Oder er hat bei den Maasai in Afrika gelebt. Und damit er überhaupt dort einen Zugang bekommt und Anerkennung erhält von diesen Menschen, hat er sich schmerzhaftesten Ritualen unterzogen, freiwillig wohlgemerkt, nur damit sie ihn überhaupt in die Gemeinschaft hineinlassen. Das heißt, Robert weiß, wie das Leben der Menschen rund um den Globus wirklich abläuft, und er kann feststellen, was macht die Menschen so vom Tiefen heraus wirklich zufrieden und wie entsteht Glück. Und etwas, was ganz, ganz spannend ist, er ist einer der Glücksforscher, die nicht sagen, sei den ganzen Tag über lustig und sei gut drauf, sondern er hat einen mehr holistischen Ansatz und sagt, wenn wir auch unsere Dark Side, also die dunkle Seite unseres Gemüts annehmen, dann geht es uns letztendlich auch besser. Das gehört einfach mit dazu. 24 Stunden lang happy sein, das ist unnatürlich, das kann eigentlich niemand. Ja, bevor das Interview jetzt losgeht, Robert Diener trägt zwar einen deutschen Namen, dennoch kommt er aus Portland, Oregon, USA, und deswegen habe ich das Interview auf Englisch geführt. Er spricht aber so schön, dass ich überzeugt bin, dass ganz, ganz viele von euch auch ziemlich alles verstehen werden, was er uns verrät und welche Einblicke er uns gibt. I got the chance to get Dr. Robert Biswas-Diener here for an interview during lunchtime. Thank you for that. Hello, Robert.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Robert, you're now here for the second time in Rosenheim to make a workshop about coaching. Last time was a congress. What do you like so much about being here in Bavaria?
Oh, well, I think people know Bavaria is a special place. It has a very distinct and local culture. The beautiful mountains are hard to miss. And I find that my audiences are very open-minded and very receptive, so I like that as well.
Your colleagues call you the Indiana Jones of positive psychology. How does this come?
Yeah. Well, I should say that I did not give myself that name. That's an important thing to understand. You get a nickname from someone else.
Yeah.
So I think that I became known as the Indiana Jones of positive psychology because I was interested in getting out of the laboratory. I didn't want to just conduct research with university students. I wanted to go out into the world, and so I lived and worked with Amish farmers, with Maasai tribal people in Kenya, with hunters living near the North Pole and Greenland. So I was interested in going to places that had traditionally been overlooked by psychologists and conducting research in those places.
The other day you were talking about job orientation and calling. And you said your job is a calling, but on the other hand, you are far away from your family for weeks. You sleep out in hotel beds. So why do you think your job is a calling?
I think people who consider their work to be a calling, they they think that their work is important because it makes the world a better place. And that could be a bus driver or a taxi driver. It could be a medical doctor or a lawyer. I don't think it depends what occupation you are. I think you can truly believe that you're contributing to the world. I mostly view myself as a teacher. Mm-hmm. I sometimes teach at the university. I teach in coaching programs. I conduct live presentations and seminars. And so I view myself, if I do it well, as being able to make an impact on the world by sharing knowledge with others.
I looked up a special website of your university. I don't know whether you know that student rating website, because you were saying you're a teacher. I just read an average one. Awesome professor. His class is an experience not to be missed. It was by far the best class I took in my undergraduate. Remarkable speaker. So that's not the best. There are tons of this to find there. So, yeah, I understand why this is a calling for you. the other day, you gave us an exercise. You said, now you have 12 minutes to do anything to be happy. So, and I think you do this in other workshops as well. What do people tell you afterwards what they love to do in this 12 minutes or 15 minutes?
So it's interesting. Most people want to be happy. They're invested in being happy. But if I said, okay, well, go try and be happy right now. Take this opportunity, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and do something you think will make you happy. Some people waste that time. Some people just check email or do some work. They think, well, if I have 15 minutes, I might as well be efficient with it or something like that. But the people who really take it as a gift and say, what could I do in 15 minutes right now that might help me? And it's amazing. They go out to nature. They take a walk in the park. Some of them exercise a little bit. Some of them make phone calls and talk to people, you know, their grandmother, their child, someone they haven't talked to in a long time, trying to connect. So they don't just do one thing. But I think in terms of themes, physical activity, connection with others, and getting out into nature seem to be three of the big ones that are quite common.
So I'm glad I took all the three. First, I did hug a nice lady. Then I called my daughter because I didn't speak to her for about 2 or 3 days, and I walked out in the park.
Oh, yeah. Good, perfect. So you're three times as happy.
Why is it no good to focus too much to be happy? Why not concentrate on it?
Well, because there's more to life than simply being happy. Happiness is one among many wonderful aspects of being human. We also want to work on trust, being trustworthy and trusting others. We also want occasional challenge. That is, we don't want to be happy during some moments. We want to struggle a little bit. Learning is a great example of that. If you ever have to learn a second language, you know there will be moments where it's frustrating, it's difficult. And you want that. You don't expect it just to be a happy time. You expect it to be a very difficult time. But it seems worthwhile. That difficulty will pay off because eventually you'll know this other language. So I think that there are other worthwhile values besides happiness, but happiness itself is very worthwhile.
One of your latest books you wrote together with Todd Kashtan is The Upside of Your Dark Side. It seems to be a strange title for a book written by a researcher of happiness.
Yeah, it is a little bit. I believe that happiness is just one side of human nature. And of course, we have all those other darker emotions, anger, guilt, sadness, boredom, and all of those. And those are important, too. They are useful. It's good to know when you think an injustice is occurring and you can be angry at it. It's good to know when you're too good at an activity and it's boring for you and you need more challenge. So those emotions are useful because they provide information for you about things that you'd like to see change, things that you would like to have be different. So instead of just being happy all the time, my co-author and I argue that you should be whole. You should be able to experience everything. And the trick is to be able to flexibly shift between the two states. So occasional anger, occasional sadness, but mostly happiness.
Okay, so flexibility is the thing to have.
Absolutely.
You're not only a scientist by heart, but you are also a well-known coach. And you have a special way of coaching, a naturalistic way of coaching. So what is so special about your coaching style?
It's a good question. I don't know that I would refer to it as special myself, but
it's different. Okay.
Yeah, but it's certainly positive, although I think all coaching is a little bit positive. But I often try and surprise my clients. That's something unique that I do. I try and delight them or surprise them with things that are unexpected. Sometimes I give them gifts, for example. Sometimes I might play a game where I try and read their mind or something like this. And I think that when people deal with the unexpected, it creates a little bit of joy. And suddenly the problems don't quite seem as bad anymore, because now we're dealing with surprise and novelty. And I think that opens the door to finding solutions, and it helps to shift clients to ultimately reach their goals.
Well, we did see two or three coachings on stage, so yeah, it really works. is it true that you did a TEDx presentation and announced your happiest days are behind you? I'm wondering whether this statement shall make me sad. My happiest days are already back.
Yes. And the title, Your Happiest Days Are Behind You, it is provocative, of course, because it's suggesting that you don't have any happiness in your future. But that's not really what the TEDx talk was about. Really, people try and change their life so that they can be happy in the future. But what I recommend is, why not go to all the good experiences you've had in the past and remember them and share them? This is what we do when we get together with our friends.
Oh, yeah.
We say, oh, remember that time? It was so funny. And that's a very, very certain source of happiness. It's like going to a well and drawing up water. And you can draw that happiness up from the past time and time again. So it's just a very certain source. We should also focus on the future, too. I don't just want people to live in the past, but I don't want them to forget that they have many happy moments in their past.
Mm-hmm. You're also a very famous storyteller. You like this if you are up on stage. Can you share one short positive story with our audience?
Sure, I can. This would be a good story about how I think hardship and challenge and difficulty can also be quite rewarding and lead to long-term happiness. So I was in Greenland, and I was conducting research very, very far north at the northern tip of Greenland, not so far from the North Pole.
With polar bears?
Yeah, there's polar bears there, definitely. Not next to me, but they're there. And I had to hunt for my own food. And it's the only time I've ever had to hunt for my own food. Yeah. So what we were going to do is we were going to take very long poles with a net at the end, and we're going to grab birds out of the sky. Huh. So as the birds fly through the sky, you hide in the rocks, and you scoop the net into the sky and try and grab a bird. It's very difficult, and I am bad at it. So I was there doing this, and I did it maybe for 1 hour, for 2 hours, and finally was able to get a bird. Mm-hmm. And when I went back to the village, the locals, who I think are very good at this, they laughed at me. And I said, well, you know, it was my first time. Don't you think getting a bird is good? And they said, well, that's good for you, but it's really not that good. And I said, well, how many birds do you think you could get, like, on your very best day? And this hunter said, "It's not a fair comparison. I can't tell you." I said, "Please, on your best day, how many birds did you get?" And he said, 700.
Jesus!
So you can see that he's very, very, very much better than me. And yet I think about this day as one of the best days of my life. Even though I was a little humiliated, I was a little cold, I was a little frustrated, I experienced a lot of hardship, but it was such a novel experience. It was so interesting to me that when I remember it as a happy time.
I've never seen that kind of hunting.
Yeah.
You're also in the editorial staff of two major journals, the Journal of Happiness Studies and the Journal of Positive Psychology. So you're in charge to view all the latest scientific works about happiness and well-being.
Yes.
So what are the most curious findings, insights of the last years?
One area that I'm very interested in is the idea that happiness is good for you. It doesn't just feel good, but it actually is beneficial. So there's increasing evidence that shows that feeling in a good mood, feeling happy, leads to better health. So it could be health behaviors. Happier people drink less alcohol, they wear their seatbelt more in the car, things like that. But also, happier people seem to have better immune systems, so they're less likely to get a common cold or the flu. And I don't want to say too much like, oh, happiness will cure cancer or something large like that. But we do have some, I think, better and better evidence all the time that happiness leads to better health. And I think that's exciting.
Yeah, that's what people want today. They are thinking more and more about their health, not only health in mind, but also in their body.
That's right.
If I would ask you for one single last tip for our audience, can you provide one?
I can provide a last tip, but I don't know if they'll like it.
Okay, so we try out.
So I'll tell you by way of story, if that's okay.
Yeah, great.
I've made in the last few years a big change in my own life. Now I work for myself, so I have some flexibility at work in terms of what I can do. But I noticed that I always had lots of email, lots of work. Every night I would work till 6 o'clock, 7 at night. I'd come home, but I'd still have lots of unfinished work. And I decided that I would change and leave work at 3:30 in the afternoon.
Oh.
And when I did that, I still had lots of email, still had lots of work. Nothing changed, except for now I get 2.5 hours off in the afternoon to myself. So work less, if you can, if you have the freedom to. And with that extra time, put it into the other things that are so valuable. Hang out with your family, cultivate a hobby or a passion. And for those people who can't work less because they have a job, it has fixed hours, don't spend your evening hours just talking about work. Don't mentally bring your work home and let it dominate your private life. Really give yourself the time to take up photography or rock climbing or whatever it is.
I like it. the audience wants to know more about you, where can they find you? Do you have a website?
Yeah, I have two websites. They can find me at www.robertdiener.com, Diener as in the German surname, and at www.positiveacorn.com.
Great. Robert, it was a pleasure for me, and I hope you will come back next year or the other years.
Yeah, I would love to. Thank you so much for having me.
Falls euch diese Show gefallen hat, würde ich mich über eine positive Bewertung bei iTunes sehr freuen. Je mehr Leute diesen Podcast hören, desto mehr Menschen können ihr Potenzial positiv entwickeln. Und das ist doch gut so, oder? Wenn du noch mehr Folgen hören möchtest, dann klicke den Abonnieren-Button auf bildungforme.com oder auf iTunes. So, das war der Bildungsspektrum-Podcast von und mit Wolfgang Hertlicker. Bilde dich selbst und dann wirke auf andere durch das, was du bist. Friedrich von Hohen.